The murder case of Danvers teenager Philip Chisholm is expected to head to the jury by the end of this week. In court yesterday, prosecutors sharply challenged a critical defense witness, Dr. Richard Dudley, as testified that Chisholm, then 14, was suffering from acute mental illness when he raped and murdered math teacher Colleen Ritzer at Danvers High School in 2013. For the second day in a row, the psychiatrist underwent withering cross-examination from the prosecution. WBUR's David Boeri reports.
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
Lead prosecutor Kate McDougall wished Dr. Dudley a good morning, but for the defense's most important witness, it went bad fast. Aiming at Dudley's evaluation that Chisholm was suffering an acute psychotic disorder on the day of the murder in 2013, the prosecutor isolated Dudley as the only one who made that diagnosis.
Is there any testing that you have reviewed prior to June of 2015 that supports your opinion that the defendant was experiencing psychosis in October of 2013?
No.
McDougall moved nimbly, sometimes affecting disbelief or derision. She established that the psychiatric counselor at the Department of Youth Services, where the 14-year-old was confined after the murder, did not believe Chisholm was psychotic.
She didn't see any evidence of psychosis in November or December of 2013, did she?
What I'm saying is what I remember is that she did not believe he had a psychotic process.
He didn't have a psychotic process because he wasn't experiencing psychosis.
I'm telling you what I remember.
Okay.
The doctor, who met with Chisholm 7 times, agreed that the critical basis for his diagnosis of psychosis were those hallucinatory voices that Chisholm said were driving him. They began at age 10, Dr. Dudley testified, and once again the prosecutor bore in.
But the only support for the idea it started at 10 is because that's when Mr. Chisholm told you he started hearing these voices.
That's correct.
And you are aware, Dr. Dudley, that he has told other people that he started hearing these voices at other times. Is that correct?
Yes.
As young as 5 or 6, maybe even as young as 2. Is that correct?
I don't remember that.
McDougall accused Chisholm of being a malingerer. He had made all that stuff up about the voices. Then came the worst moment of the less-than-good morning. The prosecutor asked whether Chisholm had even once shown remorse. Yes, Dudley responded. When pressed, Dudley said that Chisholm once reflected that had he been able to manage his illness, had he not listened to the voices,
he wouldn't have caused the difficulties that he caused to his family?
No, to the victim's family.
Well, that's not what you said, is it?
I said to this family.
And is that how he described them, difficulties, Dr. Dudley?
I think it's pretty hard for him to talk about this.
The prosecutor's disdain was palpable in the front row where the parents of murdered Colleen Ritzer sat. The defense tried to salvage their expert on redirect questioning to establish that Chisholm couldn't help himself. He had to follow those command hallucinations. He was mentally ill, after all. Lawyer and legal analyst Randy Chapman says the defense has an overwhelming burden.
Their client, besides being accused with one of the most horrific crimes you would hear, is facing a mountain of evidence that shows a level of premeditation and malice of forethought which runs quite contrary to their defense.
The jurors will begin deciding for themselves by the end of the week. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri in Salem.